Welcome into a brand spanking new Inside LAFC podcast. I am Max Bretos, joined by Jordan Harvey. How are things doing, Jordan? What a beautiful backdrop you have provided for us today.
Thank you. This is lovely Long Beach, and the sun is going down. I hope it doesn't go too far down where now I'm going to be in the dark in a dungeon over here while your bright, beautiful face is shining over there. And where are you?
Beautiful Redondo Beach.
Here. All right.
Manhattan Beach adjacent. Sometimes I can cross aviation. Technically, I'm in Manhattan Beach. But we'd like to say hello to everyone all over Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us. Joining us all over the country, all over the world, wherever you may be tuning into Inside LAFC podcast. Happy to tell you that last week we had Timothy Tillman and Mama Tillman tuning into the podcast as well. So the families are tuning in here, Jordan.
Good to know. I had a few people give me shout outs, a lot of text messages. Hey, I like the new podcast, all that. So it's all you, Max.
No, it's everybody
around here.
No, that is not true. Jordan has done a stand-up job, and everyone loves Jordan, and he brings it, and he's going to bring it on this episode today. We'll get you to all the details shortly. I do want to let you know that coming up a little bit later on the podcast, LAFC defender Aaron Long will be joining us. We'll talk to him about his upbringing, his career, as well as what lies ahead. And that is, Jordan, that it is Galaxy Week. I mean, those two words, when I say it, it's rivalry week. It's Galaxy. What stirs in your mind?
A little bit more intensity this week. The PC is usually shut off from any sort of visitors. They try to eliminate as many visitors, distractions as possible. And guys are completely focused. Not that, you know, guys aren't focused week in, week out, but, you know, people come into the PC and there's always going to be visitors, whether it's somebody from the coaching staff wanting somebody in or academy players coming up, you know. So this week is shut the doors. Security guard Paul is on high alert and guys are, focused on the task at hand.
Yeah, Paul is locked in, dialed in there at the Performance Center. This will be the first of three meetings between the clubs, as is the tradition now in Major League Soccer. They'll have that neutral site, the one at the Rose Bowl on the 4th of July. That's going to be a spectacle. And then obviously LAFC will visit the Galaxy down at Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson. So this, as you said, this is an important game. We talk about, and you know, some people might get into the cliches, we'll take it one game at a time and it's just like any other game. That's not the case, and I think everyone's been very upfront when I talk to them, whether it's Steve Cherundolo or the players. They know what's at stake. They know this game will change the tenor, the cadence of the next stretch of the season.
Yeah, this a lot of times this game lands when one team is doing well, the other team is not, and then it's kind of a momentum shifter, if you will. And a lot of times in the recent history, it's been Galaxy not doing so well, LAFC doing well, and it was their chance to really give it to LAFC and have the fans have some sort of bragging rights. Right now I think both teams are doing well. Galaxy obviously coming off a win, LAFC, you know, trying to get back into the form that you saw early in the season and glimpses throughout. And now this is one that, both teams are going to look to win and hope that it propels them into the rest of the season.
I look forward to your preview of this game because it's really interesting because the Galaxy are much improved. They are unbeaten thus far, as you said. They score goals. This is going to be a big test. And maybe it's kind of the situation where the LAFC need a lift. In years past, the Galaxy did, and they could get a result. Maybe we'll have that result. But I am going to begin this week's show. And by the way, this fixture is usually early in the season. This is a little bit later. Remember, last season it was supposed to be the opening week and it got rained out. But it usually happens in the first month of the season. We're going to start with Black and Gold Rewind. Everyone loves it. When we look back in the history of LAFC, we're going to go back to the very first meeting between the Galaxy. I list them first because it was down at their park, and LAFC. March 31st, 2018. We didn't know what this rivalry would be like. We had an idea it would be special. And that first game, and Jordan was with the club. He was on the bench. And by the way, I want to point this out, that after that, Jordan got into the starting 11 and never let that spot go.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it, Max. It's okay.
I think it's great that we can talk to you about walking out on the field, getting on that seat, looking around at the stadium and what was going on. And, you know, with all the expectations of this matchup and the reality that you saw before you, what were those moments like seeing it for the first time?
Yeah, it was a good start to the season, just to put a little context in there. And we were on the road a good portion of the first half of the season because at the time, Banc of California, now BMO, was being built, right? So we were at UCLA training facility. So there was a little makeshift there, but they made it really as seamless as possible. LAFC did for the players, but we were on the road quite a bit. And so this was the first game that our LAFC fans could really show up, right? And so that added to the intensity and the passion. It was really the first moment that the black and gold, the 32-52, could be all together in a stadium without traveling, which is difficult, and just bring the numbers and their voices. And I've got goosebumps thinking about it. It was
me too.
It was unbelievable. It felt like, you know, and everybody's been to some European games. It felt like a massive derby in Europe, and it hasn't ever disappointed, other than maybe the pandemic when there weren't allowed to be fans. But that started it out. And if you remember, that whole section was black. I still remember videos of the 32-50 and all the fans coming through the concourse at that time. But yes, coming out into that stadium, you know, they had just signed Ibrahimovic. He was on the bench, so there was some uncertainty whether he would be in the game or not. You know, the way the game went, our fans were just going crazy because you had the goal from Carlos, you know, cutting inside on Ashley Cole, you know, and then we went off to the races. And what's funny is I talked to Junior Gonzalez, the Not Lily C2 coach. He was on the bench for Galaxy at the time as one of the assistants. And so he remembers it a little bit differently as well. So it's really cool to get his perspective. And now he's come over to the good guys. But it was so crazy, so intense. And, you know, from what I gather, they weren't even thinking about potentially putting Ibrahimovic on because they thought the game was lost. And, you know, they pulled one back and then they decided to put him in. And then all hell broke loose, which was the craziest thing to see from the bench, because you can see the shift in the stands. You can see the shift on the field. And it was honestly something like that. And looking back, it was very difficult to swallow. But that ultimately, and the next game that I'm sure we'll talk about, really built this rivalry, really started us off on such a crazy note that every game now there's some sort of twists and turns, and it all started from this first game. Unfortunately, we're on the losing end of it, and we've had more success in certainly the playoff game, I think, being the biggest one, winning that one, a huge monkey off everyone's back in the biggest game possible in the playoffs. But it's really that one that started just this crazy rivalry that you can call a rivalry. Too often that term is thrown around when it's, you know, LAFC versus Seattle or so. Like, this is a rivalry. This is the rivalry in a Major League Soccer.
I think
everybody across the board, even players on other teams, would agree.
Could we call it a rivalry after that game? Because we knew it was going to be big, but after that game, we kind of stamped it.
Oh, 100%. And it just kept getting better and better. You know, with every draw that LAC had in that first year, it was the storylines just kept kind of putting more pressure. And then, yeah, and the way that we were drawing, I think the first home game, which is, again, very massive. We got off to a 2-goal lead, and we were just – it was passing, passes, passes, passes. And then one big mistake, which happens in big games, and now they're back in the board. I think it was Ola Kamara picked up a loose ball. Then it was Alessandrini. And then all of a sudden they scored two in the last 5 minutes.
What a memory on you.
Two in the last 5 minutes and 2-2. And you're going, we just had that in control. And I think that's also why – you know, you would say, you know, Galaxy at that point had the better end of the rivalry, but you could see in the play, they had those big swings where they got these big goals and big moments, but the play on the field, the control of the games, I think that's what showed fans like, dude, like LAFC is here to play. Like they have this, it's just a matter of time. At least that's what I felt playing in those games, but it's the pressure in big moments that, you know, early on, we found difficult, just insane goals.
So many layers to that. And thank you for reminding me that Roman Alessandrini was in that game, because I don't remember these things, but that's what you're here for, Jordan. And I love what you brought in about Junior, because the folks on the Galaxy side, their mind had to be blown too. They were the only club in town, and all of a sudden they see this spectacle with their colors and then black and gold. And it's like, no one could have predicted. I was with you. It felt like not just a big European date. It felt like a major final, like the FA Cup. I don't want to shortchange the FA Cup, but when you see all the fans almost equally represented, that's what those big cup finals in Europe or South America feel like. It took my breath away. And
yeah, but these games and these matchups aren't short of any sort of storylines, right? I mean, the storylines that just came up in every single game, and then, you know, everyone loved to write about LAFC not getting that win, not getting the 3 points. And then, you know, the one that it did happen, which I'm sure we'll get to, that playoff game, which is the biggest game I felt like in my career at that point. And just the monkey off everyone's back, the relief, and then the swings in that game were so crazy as well. You know, it felt like anything Ibrahimovic hit was going in.
Well, let's pivot from that first meeting. But because I think what you said is really interesting, because if LAFC won that game 3-1, who knows the direction this rivalry would have gone. But the fact that it was 4-3 and you had this duel with Carlos and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, it took it to another level. And I think it gave LAFC that extra energy to get back and even up, because no one's going to forget that game. It was a global sensation because in large part of what Zlatan did. So I have discussions with LAFC fans all the time, and I say, we wanted to win that game, but the fact it ended that way put this on a whole nother level. And let's move to your favorite LAFC Galaxy moment, and you touched on it, that playoff game. And you said that it was possibly the biggest game you participated in, and this was in 2019. And yes, the Galaxy had to beat Minnesota in a play-in game, and LAFC awaited. And a lot of people said, let's get Minnesota. And I said, we want the Galaxy. We want this, because it's going to be a showpiece. No one wanted to lose to the Galaxy in that game. But boy, LAFC did not. It got a little uncomfortable, but that game was phenomenal.
Yeah, and when you look at the season, right, they struggled. And like you said, they had to be in the playoff game. They made a run a little bit there at the end. And when we're, you know, in such good standing at first place and in such good form, and you get to that game, or as you just described, that kind of storyline of like, who do you want to play? And that
Who did you guys want to play? Did you have that conversation about who you might?
We knew internally that it was going to be Galaxy. Everyone was like, it's going to be Galaxy. You know, it definitely, and I'm not going to lie, left a pit in my stomach, because I was like, like it's going to be a big game. Like, this is going to be a big game. And, you know, we just knew that it was going to be, and it had to be. If it wasn't, it wouldn't have felt, you know, listen, there's a lot of things to go off of on this tangents here, because that was such a big game. And then we lost to Seattle that next one. And it almost felt like that it was coming down to a different level with Seattle, even though it was the Western Conference final, but that was such a big game. You know, it's difficult to even think that it couldn't have been Galaxy. The storylines had to be, and that's what everybody wrote about, right?
It's all steps too, and there was such a euphoria. And the Seattle game was a great example. I think everyone thought, okay, this is it, we're moving on. And then the Sounders may have used whatever was in their power to suck that emotion out and use it to their advantage. Because
I have a lot to say about that game as well.
That's our next Black and Gold Weekly. Okay. Yes, that's our next Black and Gold Weekly.
But this game, just going back to that, we touched on it the last podcast, Diego's goal, then Dio's goal, Carlos scoring to start it out with his right foot. Can remember that like it's yesterday, the emotion that he showed in that goal when he's usually cool, calm, and collected after these goals and going to his family after him. Like he was psyched and pumped. And that just showed the level of emotion that was running through everyone's veins. And in that goal kind of let it out. I think with every goal, everyone just, it was just so much built up that the excitement and the joy and the beer that was tossed everywhere. I mean, the amount of wasted beer that was tossed on everyone was crazy. I think there's posters made of it, of Diamande just covered in it after his goal. But yes, that was a massive moment that I don't think anybody in those stands will ever forget. Certainly nobody on the field.
I like how you said wasted beer, because that's what it is. It's what it is at the end of the day.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Those are expensive. The amazing moments that you laid out, I think of the Brian Rodriguez goal. It was a tie, but just things that stick out, because these years go by fast, Jordan. 6 years of this rivalry, and the league knows it's got something good. So generally, they play three times a season, maybe more. There's been the two playoff games. There's been the two Open Cup games. There's been the MLS's back game where LAFC scored 6 goals. So much. And it's because of they fast-track this rivalry. And I don't have the history books in front of me. I don't have the receipts. I don't know what River Plate and Boca or Celtic and Rangers did in their first 6 years. But I would have to imagine this ranked somewhere. And I'm not comparing it to these other great rivalries, but I would say this one is moving up the ranks. So where does this rivalry rank for you when you think of within Major League Soccer? And all due respect, I don't think because the history of a Seattle Portland, we move up there, but it's up on that bumper. And I think the potential for it to be a big global rivalry, when you think of all the great personalities that have been in it, the ceiling's high.
Yes. Yes. I think given the history and the games that we just described, and there's more than just that, I think it has to be the top rivalry in the league. And it helps when both teams are doing well, right? And it was even when Galaxy wasn't doing so well. I do think that there is a fine line to too many of these games. I do. I do like when, you're not playing a team more than 3 times, then you get into like a playoff game, then that's 4, some of these other competitions. Overdoing it, I think, is definitely a fear. You want it to be kind of few and far between, but the fans love it. The league loves it. But I have to put it up there as the top rivalry, in the league. I'm obviously partial, but there is real animosity, between the fans. It's in such close proximity. Both teams are in LA, or relatively close to LA. There's no other, I'm trying to think in the league if I'm missing something, anywhere close. I mean, you have the New York teams.
Yeah. That can't be up there.
Difficult, because until they get a stadium, I feel like there's not a real environment in Yankee Stadium. And then, Red Bull Arena, that one needs to be packed like it used to be. That's such a cool stadium. Long answer here. I think it's the top rivalry in the league. And when you watch these games, this is what all the players are watching, and that tells you something. All the players like watching these games. They have been nothing short of some of the best games in regular season history. I think it's up there, but it's an LAFC podcast. So what else was I going to say?
I don't think that's far. I don't think that's unfair at all. And for it to be a super tradition, top tier rivalry, the clubs have to be in the same city. And the only teams that are in the same city are in Los Angeles and in New York. There's some that are close, like Seattle, Portland, or the clubs in Texas. But as you said, the animosity and the fan bases, there's there's families here where there's a Galaxy fan and there's an LAFC fan within it. And that's just going to keep growing. So, you know, there's guys at work or girls at work, whatever, talking this game because it's in the same city. And that's going to separate it. So whether it's the top rivalry now, Jordan, it's going to be, I think for that very reason, it's just going to keep growing, whether they have four games a year or they have two.
Yeah, and it's not just the MLS sides, right? It's the whole club. So you think about the best games in the academy. I love going to these games because these players feel it. These academy players are all in because they've watched this rivalry and they've seen what it's become from day one, that initial game, and they feel that pressure and that excitement and that energy. And everyone has a passion for these games, and you see it in the academy all the way down to the youngers, and now with the second team. And the second team, that game's coming up, and that'll be a big one, and one that everybody circles on their calendars as, you know, the biggest game of the season. And so it's a group, it's a club, you know, to the Galaxy, LAFC, Galaxy. You know, they have a lot of history, but now I think the history that LAFC's riding is rich, and one that they definitely have taken notice of.
Mark your calendars. April the 14th, Sunday, 7 p.m. local time, LAFC 2, Galaxy 2, down there at Titan Stadium. So start making your plans because there's going to be a lot of them. If you can, I want to see a packed Titan Stadium for that. We all do.
That would be amazing. And I think the first team plays Columbus, if I'm not mistaken, the day before that. So that's a big weekend for LAFC, playing defending champs, the rematch of MLS Cup. And then LAFC 2 playing the Galaxy, which Galaxy have done really well with their second team as well. They've picked up some college players. They've got a slightly older roster than last year, but they've done really well with their second team.
Well, let's preview this game on that note. And the big storyline is the Galaxy are improved across the board, with, you said, with their second team, their academy, and certainly their senior team, which as it stands are unbeaten. Scoring goals. If you look at some of the data, they score a lot. They get a lot of chances. So does LAFC. I think I was looking at shots and shots created. Both of them are in the top three. LAFC is number one on shots on target. So the volume and output is there. Disappointing result over the weekend for LAFC, not being able to get any points against the Colorado Rapids. They'll have to wait to get that road win. Been good at home, unbeaten, two wins and a tie thus far. And obviously it takes it to another level. But this is a much different Galaxy team that you've seen years past. You know, Ricky Pooch is there. They brought in Joseph Pantsel and Gabriel Peck, two wingers. You know, Will Kuntz is there, who's with LAFC, a big part of a club making some moves. So it's always big. And I always say it's LAFC that lifts it because we've seen their ambition and their success. And now the Galaxy success, and I would imagine this is where you'd want the rivalry, where both teams are playoff teams. LAFC still got a few things to work out, but I think they'll get there. But two teams that are playoff teams and are amongst the top teams in the West. It's going to be a big event.
Yeah, it certainly is. And like you alluded to, Will Kuntz made a number of changes in the offseason. Brought in a really crafty player in Peck, who's now getting up to speed. Pantsel is electric on that right side. You know, seeing him for the first few times, first few games was eye-opening. I was really impressed. And then you have Djokovic, who's
Jovalic.
Jovalic, who's scoring goals. I appreciate that.
You're thinking tennis.
Not to be confused with tennis. So, no, they've got a good roster. Like I said, they eased kind of Peck into that lineup. And then they're free-flowing. And I think where LAFC, especially, you know, at home, if a compact, organized, which I know Steve will have them, you know, breaking that down or not allowing them to break them down, and then controlling the game like they do at home, you know, I'm confident in LAFC. You know, the last game at home was Nashville, which That was, you know, Nashville was missing a few guys, but that was a very convincing win. You go to Colorado, it's a difficult place to play. And I think that's something that you look at this early part of the schedule. It's been really tough for LAFC, you know, looking at these games. And so I think this is a perfect moment for LAFC to really bring that intensity, bring that quality, all the things that Galaxy brings, that creativity, that free flowing, really electric attack. You know, if they're able to control those guys, then I think where Galaxy is susceptible is their defense, right? Because Puig is going everywhere to get the ball, sometimes unorganized. So I see LAFC being able to capitalize in moments like that in transition. And then I think the thing that is ultimately now shifting is with Edward Atuesta in the lineup, and the more everyone gets acclimated with him, I think the more control LAFC will be in games. I think that is now coming and coming more and more. And so at home, you know, I think we're looking at a good defensive shape, and then in moments of transition, but then also being very cognizant of their ability to transition and then being able to connect passes so you can set up your offensive marking and really control the game. If you turn over the ball, everyone's in good spots to really control their amazing attack. So it'll be an exciting game. This is what's fun about it's difficult, and you could talk to JT or John Thornton about this, but with the success of teams, then comes turnover, because you can't keep all these players on one roster if you have the success that LAFC has. So then there's new characters that step up, right? You saw David Martinez come into the fold. I mean, what an amazing young player that is. We already talked about their players on that side. It's new characters that come in and then create this rivalry, and it already is something, but they shift it into something different. And, you know, the game will look slightly different, but with the same passion, intensity, and energy that we've talked about in those previous games.
We know LAFC is going to be into it. Their supporters are, the Galaxy the same. This is going to be great for the neutrals, and for what you've pointed out, it's going to be a very attractive game. I always remember what Giorgio Chiellini tells me. He goes, "This is not a rivalry." He goes, "Too many goals," because he's used to, you know, yes. He's used to Juventus and Inter, where it's scoreless 90 minutes or one goal's enough. This game has always had at least two goals. There's been 7-goal games, 6-goal games, 8-goal games, and everything says this is going to be another high-scoring game, which everyone's going to. The neutrals are certainly going to appreciate. We'll see what everyone else thinks. At some point, though, Jordan, we're going to have a one settle game, or maybe a score. The law of averages suggests it. Or maybe it doesn't happen, because it's not even come close to that. There's always a goal. There's always an early goal.
Yeah, and Georgia is funny, because, you know, they just close shop. They park the bus, and it's just
that like doesn't that. Happen here.
No, it's like, and then, you know, The difference that I would say in previous games is, you know, Steve is very pragmatic. So I do foresee, if there is a lead, him putting in defensive subs to then just lock it down, which I totally agree with and understand, because this game could just get crazy. The issue with that is if they do get one, and then you have these defensive subs and you have to go on the attack. So it's just a cat and mouse game. It's going to be an exciting one. But yes, I always have hoped for low scoring games, and to be able to, and this is, it's just how it is. And it's what's been created, is like, that could have been that 2-0 game in that second ever game in the history of LAFC Galaxy. And who knows, then maybe the next games are kind of the 1-0s and everything. It's just the way it's gone. And everybody, I don't know if it's just acceptance that everybody goes, well, there's going to be, you know, 5 goals. So let's just keep going for it. You know, maybe it's that belief that it's happened in the past and people can come back from, you know, leads.
You kind of touched on it, but is there a key that maybe stick out to the result here? You mentioned Eduardo Atuesta, who I believe was sitting next to you in that first ever LAFC Galaxy game on the bench. Or maybe it was 2 seats over. He came in.
He might have been. I'm not sure. I know Benny Fellhaber started as a 6 in that game. But yeah, I'm not sure if he was next to me, but maybe he should have been on the field, I guess.
Eventually, Is there a key that maybe, and you, again, you've touched on a few things, but is there something that you would be looking for to say that could be the difference?
Oh man, there's so many and they're all connected, right? I mean, you know, being able to be compact defensively is going to be massive. Not giving up silly turnovers so that they can break and they have the pace to, you know, in the event that we are stepping to try to win ball, if they do break us down, then getting in a lower block so that there isn't that space in behind. You know, it's going to be huge on our fullbacks. They have crafty wingers. Those are the ones that really create their attack. And you know, from the midfield, they can spring balls at any moment. So just being completely aware of that, you know, maybe staying home in moments, knowing that that is of the utmost importance and relying on your attackers to really do the attacking, no overlapping runs, maybe just being more professional in these games. You know, this is why you need Giorgio Chiellini in there. Just some professionalism so that you aren't left susceptible in the back. Because the more we can control the game, the more passes we make, you know, that will set us up in moments of transition. You know, if this game turns on its head like it has so many times and it turns into a back and forth, then they have some quality attackers that can make us pay like they have in the past. Acuña, Pavón, you know, Ibra in those games. This is how they've always had some quality in certain moments and they've risen to the occasion. I think the more LAFC can control this game and really not allow them to break out and run, I think the better.
I think that's a great key. Jordan, a lot to absorb. We can't wait for Saturday to come. It's going to be electric. BMO Stadium, get out there. If you can't get to the game, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV will have you covered. Before we go, LAFC 2, 3-0-0, and they won in a penalty shootout.
So sorry, you corrected me on Jovalic. It's 2-0-1, so it counts as a draw.
But they get the
extra
point. That's going to ruin my graphic, but 2-0-1, but this is my notes.
I should have said this beforehand. So it's a draw, but you get the extra point. So I'll take it. I will absolutely take it. But what I do like, and Junior Gonzalez, the head coach, wants to forget about last year and the penalty woes, we lost 7 out of 7 penalties last season. That is incredible. It's impossible. And this is the first penalty shootout. So I count it as a win. So put that 3 on
there. Put it back up.
it was a huge penalty kick. David Ochoa stood on his head down the stretch and had some great saves in the penalty shootout. I was so, so proud of these boys. And, you know, they fought hard in Colorado, difficult place to play. And, you know, they got the draw and then went into penalties and everybody stepped up big time. Even Leo Flores, who missed it, I thought it was an amazing penalty. It was a great penalty, just went off the post. But David Ochoa was not to be denied. What a great game he had. And, yeah, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling.
These young kids are really proving themselves. I'm happy about it.
And we look forward to having David Ochoa on the Inside LAFC podcast very soon. It's an incredible story, and we'll talk more about it, but all good. Excellent, Jordan. Enjoy the game, and let's get those 3 points.
Thanks, Max.
Inside LAFC podcast. Jordan Harvey, we will roll on. LAFC defender Aaron Long will join us on the pod next. We are back here on Inside LAFC podcast, a regular contributor, really. I'm gonna preface that when Aaron Long, LAFC defender, joins us. Getting ready for big rivalry week. How are things right now in preparations for the first edition 2024 LAFC and Galaxy?
It's good. It's exciting. These are the games that we as players, you know, circle on our calendars. These are the ones that fans circle on their calendars. So. It's early in the week here, kind of just getting our legs back after our last game, but we'll slowly start the preparations and hopefully get ready to go here.
And I want to talk about this rivalry. We'll preview the game a little bit in a couple minutes, but well documented, you are from LA, and this is you're playing, a long-standing member of the New York Red Bulls prior with some other clubs. LAFC came into existence 2018, and this rivalry was born. We spoke about it with Jordan Harvey. Curious, from your perspective, your impression of the rivalry, being from LA, what were those thoughts? What were those things that you thought about? Go, hey, look at this, my hometown, two big clubs.
Yeah, it's where it is now. It's amazing, right? It's great. I think what makes a good rivalry are big moments, and this the way that this rivalry has slowly built and built and built and had some amazing iconic moments throughout the years. You know, they stand out to everyone in the league, both for both teams, right? Which is important. It's got to be an even rivalry. It's got to be something that people tune into. I know when I speak to my friends around the league, they tune in because it's known for some amazing goals, right? One way or another, there's going to be one or two bangers that go on in this game for whatever reason. It just happens like that. But yeah, like you said, I've been a part of the New York Derby. I've been a part of the Seattle Portland rivalry. And this one is obviously a lot newer, not as hasn't had as much history, but I mean, some of the moments it's created already is unbelievable. The fans are into it. The league is into it. So definitely as good as it gets, in my opinion.
We were talking to Jordan. We've put it as the top rivalry because it's moving in that direction. And I love how you pointed out. I've seen it from New York, the one other rivalry, which has two clubs in the same city. Seattle-Portland, really the gold standard. Which is the best? You've experienced them. Which one sticks out?
It's hard to know which one's the best, right? I feel like it ebbs and flows in terms of like the popularity of the teams, how good both of the teams are, how good the games are. You know, if it ends in a 0-0, it's like, okay, how good was this rivalry this year? But again, just if we're looking on just iconic moments, I mean, LA has got some crazy ones. It's some of the goals that if you just run the highlight tape of the goals of the LA games, it is nuts. It's madness.
Never had a scoreless game. Never had a one settle game either, I believe. You were, so as before, you were obviously black and gold, but a neutral prior. Is there a moment from these games that you watch that sticks out?
When I was, yeah, I think one of the games, Ibrahimovic coming on late and having his moment, his debut into the league in that fashion, that obviously sticks out right away. And then I think the other big one from everyone around the league that watches and tunes in is Carlos Vela, right? Like he shows up on the day somehow, some way, the ball finds it on his left foot, outside the box, curler, like it's inevitable at some point. So I think those are the two that stick out the most to me.
You mentioned that your friends and obviously fellow players tune into this. What are some of those conversations prior or even since you've been with the club that have suggested to you that this is just a titanic matchup from the neutrals, from people, because we know it's going to be a big deal in LA, but from New York or the folks in the Pacific Northwest about why they tune into this? What are some of those conversations you've had that have excited people about this matchup?
I don't know. I think it's the star power, to be honest. Again, there's so many games that go on every Saturday, right? And me as a player, we play in games, we watch games back. Usually I'm gonna tune into a game if I can, who's gonna be our next opponent or someone in the Western Conference. If there's a derby game, it's like, let me throw that one on. Let me see if it's good, depending on where it is around the league. But for some reason, when it comes to LA, everyone has it on. And I get texts from a lot of players around the league before the game, after the game, like, wow, that game was unbelievable. Why is this game so entertaining? You know, this is classic LA, this is Hollywood business, you know, it's every time. So, and it's been that way since the beginning. So I think that's, again, what makes it so good.
Are the texts rolling in already for this week?
No, not yet.
you're bracing yourself.
I'm sure it'll come. Yeah. And there's always a ton of texts afterwards. So,
ticket requests
are huge. Yeah. We've already got the ticket requests maxed out, from Jeff here at the building. You're like, guys, we're sold out. don't even think about it.
As it should be. Don't even think about it. So this is going to be an incredible game. And this is it's a unique circumstance. The Galaxy much improved with some new players. I know you're in the process of the video and scouting those guys. And by the way, before I get into the preview, I was rolling through our stats. And I noticed that you have recorded the fastest mile per hour sprint at some point this season. Are you aware of that? And if you are, is that a nice badge of honor for you? The pace that people don't really know that you might possess.
On the team or in the league?
On the team. But I haven't checked the league, but it's probably up there. It was a good number.
I mean, it's not really a badge of honor. No, I think, I don't know what moment called for it, but if I'm sprinting that fast, it's probably not good. You know, I'm probably chasing someone down. But no, we talk about speed a lot on the team, and, you know, there's a lot of banter and, you know, in terms of who's faster here or there. Me and Denis have a good rapport in terms of who would win in a race. His secret, so for the viewers, is apple juice. Denis says, if you want to run fast, drink apple juice. And that's his pre-game go-to. That's his post-game. So that's his secret. So you guys know that's like Mike's secret stuff right there.
Do you have a secret ingredient? Because you are...
No, I don't. He tries to get me to drink apple juice. He's like, you want to run faster? Then drink your apple juice. And I'm like, no.
Apple juice sales just soared based on what you just said. Because Denny is...
Yeah. Denny's, yeah, the cream of the crop, absolutely.
Well, he's a super athlete, but Aaron, we've talked many times, that describes you as well, and being able to play so many sports and just looking at you, and this helped propel you to MLS Defender of the Year and 2022 National Team Player. Talk about your athleticism, because that's, you know, so many parts about the sport, the technical aspects, the experience, but leaning into your athletic ability, whether it's speed, whether it's verticality, getting up in the air, how big of a part is that on your regular basis in training and games that you lean into?
I think at this level, you try to take every edge that you can, right? It's like the smallest of differences make the biggest moments. So you have to use everything in your power. So as someone who is physically gifted and I'm fast and I'm tall and I'm strong, I have to lean into that. I have to do a ton of gym work, a ton of speed work, to make sure I can keep that up. Again, in my position, I'm facing number nines and wingers who are usually the fastest guys on the pitch for the other team. So, that's something that I want to stay on top of. But yeah, then there's other players who aren't as physically gifted who lean into the technical side of the game and tactically what they can do to help the team. So there's so many ways, that you can gain that edge. And luckily for me that I do have that in my corner, that physicality.
Having an athlete like Denny Bwanga at training, how's that helped your game?
Yeah, I mean, there's some serious athletes on this team, right? Kike is lightning, dude. Denny is lightning. Murray, for as big as he is, he's fast. Like, you know, we have some good athletes on the team. And again, iron sharpens iron. I say that all the time, but it's true. You know, when you want to become the best player you can be, when you want to really test yourself in training at the highest level, you want to go against the best players, technically the fastest players. So, you know, at times when we do line up against those guys, it's game on. And there's, again, a friendly banter there, but there's also some serious competition in training, and we try to get the best of each other.
Brilliant. Yeah. And all due respect to Kike, we forget about it because there's such a top line athlete here, but this is a team that is definitely a strength. Something you'll lean into this weekend. Early thoughts about this challenge for a reconfigured LA Galaxy team. Much has been made about these wingers there that they brought in Paintsil and Peck. What have you noticed with some of your video? And obviously, you're still in the buildup towards that about what is going to be challenging with this club.
Yeah, we haven't done video on them yet, but again, I've seen games of them this year. Like you said, they're much improved. They're just talented, man. They have a lot of talent, especially going forward right now. Their midfield three is very good at keeping the ball, at creating chances for their front three. And their front three are extremely dynamic, and they're dangerous in the box, all three of them. So I know their number nine got off to a great start. He's got 5 or 6 goals this year. And their wingers are very good 1v1, super fast. So again, they got 6, 7, 8 guys that can attack at a really high level.
Yeah, scoring a lot of goals, giving up a lot of goals. So I'm sure it's going to be busy. This could be a wild one, but it's always wild when these two teams play. And Saturday, it's going to be a hot ticket. MLS season pass, Apple TV, if you can't get in the doors at BMO Stadium. A lot of happening inside training as well. And I know we've talked a little bit off the pod, but I wanted to get your thoughts about your former college coach. We talked to Junior Gonzalez, who's your guy at UC Riverside, and he's had a great coaching career. But your first thoughts or first moments when you guys reconnected here at LAFC?
I think my first initial thought was I was just so happy for him to come back home. You know, I know that he's from this area, as am I. He coached me at UCR, and we were both a lot younger then. And since then, I've bounced around a little bit in the league, right? I've been on a couple different clubs, and he's bounced around in his coaching career. So for me to come back home and feel that feeling again of being in Southern California, being around my family, I think as soon as I saw that they signed him, I was just like, wow, that's amazing for him and his family. I know how that feels coming home, and I'm just so happy for him.
Yeah, he went through the same thing going around most recently in Chicago. So I feeling similar things that you have felt with being able to return to home, which we all love this city. And I know growing up here and being away for so long has to be very special. Something that you can pinpoint Junior helped you with. This is a long time ago, obviously going back to UCR, UC Riverside, but things that he may have instilled in you, seeing how well his coaching career has gone, that you still lean into here.
I think something that was big at UCR was his approach to mentality. He's a guy that hates to lose. And when people don't perform to their level, he lets them know, and he's very direct about it. I think that's something that I always respected. I think that's something that players respect when you play for him. You want a coach that gets the best out of you. He doesn't let you slide on the small things or have, you know, bad performances and sweep it under the rug. It's about mentality. And I know when he was a player, he was a fighter, and he's got a national championship under his belt. And I've heard the stories from, you know, back in his playing days that this guy was an animal. So, and I think as a coach, he tries to bring that same level of intensity mentally from his players.
And he's bringing that to LAFC too. They're off to a great start, but you know, the kids, it's a very young MLS Next Pro team, but these kids, it would seem that this is a nice element to bring into their playing portfolio, an intense coach who's going to get them result driven.
Not intense in a bad way, you know, sure. Like he's harping on them, but just a coach that's tactically sound. And I'm sure, again, I was being coached by him back in 2010 to 2014. So it's been, you know, over 10 years. Imagine back then if he's tactically sound and he knows how to get the best out of his players and have a good mentality. And he's grown the last 10, 15 years. Like, you know, he's probably tremendous now.
All really good stuff. By the way, you've had a great season, Aaron. You don't have to say it. I think I've been watching you and all the data points and just the eyeball test. The national team game, I know the aspirations are still there. I strongly believe there's a future for you there, but you watched, certainly tuning in, see how the United States did with their victory over Mexico?
Absolutely. Always. Not missing that game. We're talking about rivalries? Come on.
Yeah.
No way. There's no way to that one.
That rivalry, I mean, at least both teams have been winning back and forth on the club level. The U.S. have been kind of one-way traffic lately. So
lately it has. Yeah, lately we've got the best of them. So let's try to keep it that way.
Hey, I was told to ask you before we parted ways here about the house flipping. You've gotten in there with Hollingshead. Is that correct? How's that going?
Yeah, not so much house flipping, I would say, but some real estate ventures that we're getting into together, definitely.
Where's the hot spot right now?
There's unlimited hot spots. The hot spot is Ryan Hollingshead. That's the hot spot. He sniffs them out. He doesn't even need to sniff them out at this point. He's got systems in place where the houses find him almost. And again, just in my search for knowledge, when it comes to real estate, Ryan Hollingshead is at the top tier. So just trying to lean on him and learn from him as much as I can while we're teammates.
Look at that. You're sandbagging it. You're like, you got to roll up your sleeves here too, man. You've got to like hit the registries and find out where. Are you handy at least? Can you do some building? Can you do some carpentry?
I can do what I need to do. You know, if anything needs to be done, I can figure it out. I can do it. That's not a problem. I've always been a hard worker. I'll figure it out. But again, there's some things that that take teaching, especially when it comes to choosing your investments and why and P&L statements, things like that, where I'm not just going to try and wing it on my first try. But when it comes to getting dirty, rolling up the sleeves, yeah, no problem. I'm there. I'm on the trip.
I can see that. And I can see Hollingshead with the tool belt and the tape measure on his hip. And he'll look up, he looks up at the ceiling and says, well, there's a busted pipe and he can fix it in 10 minutes. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. This guy can do, this guy's done, he's demoed his whole house before. Like he, you know, he'll just do it himself. He's a DIY machine.
I got to get him over here, man. Do you think he would? I mean, he's pretty busy right now, but I don't want to maybe pop
him over. Maybe not this week. Maybe next week you can have him do some work on your house.
Some nice landscaping.
You know? Actually, last year he comes to training with like a, I don't know what was all over his hands. And I'm like, yo, what happened to your hand? It looked like he like melted off the skin on his hand. Looked like it was completely gone. I'm like, what happened to you? And it was carpet glue that he was like laying carpet. He pulled up the floorboards of his house. He was laying carpet, spilled the carpet glue on his hands. And it's like insane, crazy glue. And it was stuck on his hands for a week, just carpet glue. All so he was like peeling it off for a week straight in the locker next to me.
What a lunatic.
Psycho.
It's like when they give you a list of things not to do. Okay, well, look, you're a professional athlete. You can't ski. You can't ride a motorcycle.
Easy. Come on, he can lazy.
I know, but they don't put that on the list. They wouldn't even think about it. Hey, put laying carpet on that. Staying away from carpet glue.
As long as the glue doesn't fall on his feet, we're fine. You know.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. That's amazing. Hey, Aaron. A huge fan of you always. I'm so thrilled that you're again here with LAFC. It's got to be nice with year two. That transition's been good, right? Because year one coming, you know, the team was an MLS Cup. You threw yourself into much more comfortable. Obviously, in the city, we knew that, but with the club too.
Yeah, knowing the teammates coming into a preseason this year when I have a rapport with all my teammates and we know each other well, starting a season together. Yeah, it's been easy transition this year. We just got to get the ball rolling a little bit here, and nothing like that with a win at home against LA.
Let's do it. And be on the lookout for Ryan Hollingshead and his electric Ford pickup with the flatbed, laying carpet all over SoCal, looking for some hot new properties.
That's right.
All right. This is a great venture. Aaron Long here at Inside LAFC Podcast. Always great to connect with the players. That's all the time we have for this week. As always, rate, review, download, subscribe, tell a friend. Available where you get podcasts, also on YouTube and Apple TV, wherever you need to catch it. We will join you next week. We'll talk about the Galaxy and look forward, as we always do. On behalf of Aaron and Jordan, this is Max. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Max.